would, turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 4. Now, last time I was up here, we was in Daniel chapter 3, and it was just like somebody took an ink blot and just put it on my Bible, because that's how I was trying to read it. So, I got me another one. Can y'all read that from here? So, next, it'll be written in Braille, I guess, but I guess getting old is not for the faint-hearted. No, you got to be strong to do this. Now, what's interesting about chapter 4 is we are now looking at Nebuchadnezzar. We were seeing the actions of Daniel, seeing the actions of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We were seeing their faith as they stood strong in the face of Nebuchadnezzar and his arrogance and his pride. But now we get an accounting of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this is going to be kind of backwards, because this chapter 4 is written after the fact. Nebuchadnezzar has gathered his closest associates, his friends, his colleagues around, and he's recounting a story that has happened to him. So the message that we're going to be preaching is going to be a before the after, after, if you can get that. In other words, we're going to learn about a lesson learned the hard way. Now, I was a knothead kid. I had to test everything to make sure that, yes, if I do this successfully, yeah, it will kill me, but I want to push it to the limit anyway. And there were many times where I learned the lesson the hard way by pushing things to the limit. Unfortunately, I think one of my grandsons kind of picked up on that, and I think he's going to be what my aunt, where I'll be taking Tums and antacids if watching him grow up. So we shall see. But what we're going to look to see here today is how Nebuchadnezzar, even though God showed himself, revealed himself through the works of Daniel, through the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that each and every time Nebuchadnezzar would just kind of give lip service to God. God says, no, I'm going to get your attention. I'm going to bring you to a place where your sin is confronting you. And this is something that I believe that we individually need, that we corporately as churches need, and that we as a country need. There's a one of the top evangelical pastors of the day, successful pastor, successful writer. He has a, I think he's 25-year-old son. And I think what started out kind of as just kind of a statement of revolt against his father has turned into a social media phenomenon. We have this 25-year-old knucklehead who thinks he knows everything, and he's on social media now on a podcast poking fun at the church, denouncing his faith, and even mocking God, standing firm mocking God. Now, he's doing it as it, jokingly, because he thinks he's a comedian. But what he is doing, he is actively shaking his fist at the God that his father proclaims and that he has been raised with. He's in open rebellion against God. Well, apparently, this young man hasn't read Daniel chapter 4. You see, God's not going to be mocked. You may shake your fist at him. You may say, I don't need God, but God's going to say, yes, you do, and yes, you will. There is going to come a time and place where every individual will come in front of a holy God. And we pray that most of this time leads to repentance. And this is what we're going to see in this case. But I'm afraid that we have become a nation and a people that now are so arrogant that we no longer fear God. Which means we are going to be judged because of this, one way or the other, because God will hold us to account. So let's look at Nebuchadnezzar and how he learned the lesson the hard way. The first thing we're going to see, verses 1 through 3, is we're going to see lessons learned from sorrow that will lead to repentance. Let's read verses 1 through 3. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show you the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs! How mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. Now you're saying, wait a minute, there ain't no sorrow in this. Remember, he's recounting everything that has happened to him. All right? He's got this banquet or wherever he's at. More than likely, Daniel has probably written this proclamation because it's very, very faith-oriented. I would have trouble thinking that Nebuchadnezzar wrote all this out himself. However, but it seems to be him recounting. Here's where I was. I have seen God work and work and work. God has revealed himself time and time again to me. And time again, I have ignored it. We will see that Nebuchadnezzar's main sin is his arrogance. Well, he's king, of course. And it's good to be king. Well, Nebuchadnezzar took that to the next level, to where his reign as king, he began to believe that he was sovereign, that he was it. And we will soon find out that God says, no, you're not. You are only allowed to do as you are doing because I am allowing you to do it. Oh, king, you're not sovereign. I am. And so what happens is we'll see as King Nebuchadnezzar goes from a carnivore to a vegetarian in one full swoop of his recounting of it, as he's sitting around munching on some grass, I have a feeling he's thinking back. What led him to this point? And this point would lead him to sorrow. This point would lead him to brokenness. This point will lead him to repentance. And what does repentance lead to? Praising God. Because we see him doing this right here. Verse 3 begins almost, it's a hymn. This is a doxology. This is a praise be to God. And it ties together with verse 17. And all the entire rest of the chapters revolves around those two verses, verses 3 and verses 17. Not only do we see lessons learned from sorrow, we'll see lessons learned from a troubled heart. Let's look at verses 4 through 18. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. The magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. At last, Daniel came in before me, he who was named Belshazzar, after the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the Spirit of the Holy Gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you. Tell me the vision of my dream that I saw in their interpretation. The vision of my head as I lay in bed were these I saw. And behold, a tree in the middle of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and the top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the ends of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful, and its fruits abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the fields found shade under it, and the birds of heaven lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the vision of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump of its root in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze amid the tender grass of the fields. Let him be wet with dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the Holy One, to that end, that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and give it to whom he will and sets over it the lowering of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw, and you, O Belshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able. The Spirit of the Holy Gods is in you. Now, this is not like the first dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. If we remember the Daniel chapter 2, the first dream he had, he didn't tell anyone anything. He said, you guys are so smart, you tell me the dream I'm having. If not, I'm going to kill all of you. Because you claim to be psychics, you claim to be magicians, you claim to be astrologers, surely you're going to know this dream. Well, nobody knew it. Now, this time, however, he tells them the dream, and they still don't get it. And so it's a dream that's perplexing to him. He knows it means something. It knows that something is troubling his heart to a point that he says, I need to call in the expert. Daniel has already shown that he can interpret dreams without me even telling him. Apparently, the gods speak to him. Notice he's still using the word gods, little g with an S, multiple. Because he's recounting here. This is what he's thinking. Okay, this is my dream. Daniel has the voice of the holy gods. This will change pretty soon. When Daniel finally confronts him and says, nope, not the gods. God, the Most High, singular, not multiple. But what we find here, is Psalm 10:4 says, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts is, there is no God. Here we see his pride being on display. Where is he at? Oh, I'm at ease in my palace. I'm just marveling at the greatness of Nebuchadnezzar. Look how good I am. Look how prosperous the nation is. I mean, you got to think. Walking around in the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which became one of the 7 wonders of the world, can you imagine? A garden being so beautiful that it becomes one of the 7 wonders of the world. And this is your backyard. This is your patio. As you walk out and you view the city, the commerce, the people, they love you. except for the ones that you're destroying off down in Jerusalem and Egypt and places like that, but they're too far to get to you. Nebuchadnezzar led a very strong empire. Didn't last long, but it was very powerful. And so you see how easy it would be for him to become very arrogant. Well, I was at ease. I was prosperous. From the onset, everything looked good. Until God confronted me. And in this, he's confronting him with a dream. A dream so much that it troubles him. It keeps him awake at night. Now, is it the dream that's keeping him awake at night, or is it the fact that his sin is being revealed to him? See, that's the problem today. We don't have that fear. The one thing that the church needs more than anything is brokenness. We need to be broken. We need to be confronted. We need to be confronted with our sin. We need to be broken because of our sin. We need to be broken because of our neighbor's sin. All the great revivals of all time have started with one simple ingredient. The people of God realizing that they have sinned against God. And the minute they do, the minute they become broken before God, and the minute they come and say, God, not only save me, deliver me from this sin, deliver my neighbors as well. That's when revival begins. That and only that. And until the church realizes this, until the church grasps this root one more time, I am afraid we are heading down a road that will lead to just destruction. Not just in this nation, but worldwide. We already have now reports of churches going underground in Canada. In a lot of places in Canada, it's illegal to congregate together to have worship service in the name of public safety. Right. I would really challenge somebody to go Fridays, maybe to one of the mosques and see if that's being upheld as well. I would be very doubtful it is, because I think we would hear screams louder than you could hear a pig stuck under a gate. But yet, we as Christians have been taught and trained to be meek, to be humble, to be silent. That's not what the Scripture tells us. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is understanding who gives us our strength. Not the government. God. That's where we get our strength from. I don't serve man. I serve God. And God says, let us come together to worship. Let us assemble the body to worship. Underground churches in Canada. Think about that. So not only would we see he had this troubled heart. Verse 17 says, the sentence is by the decree of the watcher, the decision by the word of the holy ones. Now, we're going to hear this decree pretty soon. And this means God was active. God's watching. God knows you're not going to keep sin hidden. That's the one thing that we need to really put a check mark up against. Our sins will be revealed. The next lesson we'll learn is the lessons learned from exposing our sins and bringing us to righteousness. You see, here's where God wants us to have a relationship with Him. That's why Christ was sent. God's desire was us to once again be able to fellowship with Him. Sin keeps us from that fellowship. Sin keeps us from that relationship. Why? Because God demands righteousness. But Paul writes, there's none righteous, no, not one. So how do we work this? If there nobody is righteous, not out of ourselves, not of anything that we can do, because given the choice, just like Nebuchadnezzar, I would keep on sinning. I'll keep on being sinful. Why? Because I kind of like sitting on my throne. I kind of like being at ease in my palace. But God says, I'm not going to share it with anyone, especially you. I'm either going to sit on the throne of your life, or I'm not going to, or I'm not. That decision is up to you. I am flashing your sin before your eyes. I am showing you what it will take for us to have a relationship, for us to have fellowship once again. As a believer, now the choice is yours. You can either choose to follow God or you can follow yourself. So let's look. Let's see what Daniel has to say. Verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king answered and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Belshazzar answered. And said, my lord, may the dream be for those who hate you and the interpretation for your enemy. The tree you saw, which grew and became strong, so that it topped reached to the heavens. It was visible to the ends of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and fruit abundant, and it which was food for all, under which beasts of the field found shade, and in those branches the birds of heaven lived. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its root in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze and the tender grass of the fields, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till seven periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree from the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the fields. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven. And seven periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and give it to whom he will. And it was commanded to leave the stump, the roots of the tree. Your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may be perhaps be lengthening of your prosperity. Now David is troubled. Not this time, as far as when we see him the first time, he's troubled for his life and for the life of his friends. This is different. Time has spanned. Daniel now loves Nebuchadnezzar. He has affection for him. He spent many a days in Nebuchadnezzar's court. He has watched how he has ruled. And so now he hears this dream, and it alarms him to a point where he said, "O king, if only this dream had been for your enemies. If only it was revealed that your enemies would be cut down." You see, David is stunned because he tells the king, "Oh, great king, you are the tree. You are the tree that's going to be chopped down. And you will live like an animal." God is revealing to Daniel what is about to happen to the great king Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, you got to wrap your head around what is about to happen. In all of this, he's telling him, yes, you're going to live like an animal. This is going to happen to teach you. This is to teach you something, Nebuchadnezzar. This is to teach you that we're not talking about gods, little g with an S. This is the most holy, high God, the one true God, is going to show you. And he's going to say, now, God's going to judge you for your arrogance. God's going to judge you for your pride. But not only that, God is gracious. He says, when you come to your senses, you're going to get your kingdom back. If you wise up, you're going to get your kingdom back. Why? Because God is gracious and loving. You see, King, he's revealing himself to you to show you who he is, to bring you into his presence. And he gives him a chance, says, look, King, I've told you, this is what's going to happen to you. However, if you repent now, This is it. This is what awaits you if you do not repent. But if you do it now, if you turn now, if you acknowledge God now, this may go away. And your kingdom, your prosperity will be lengthened. You can avoid this. You can avoid judgment. You see, the scripture tells us that every man is appointed time, death. And then what comes after that? Judgment. Every one of us will be judged one of two ways. We will be judged by our works as a follower of Christ. As Christ has worked through us, the judgment of the righteous, where our works will be judged as we pass through the fires of judgment. One preacher says it's going to smell like a barbecue in heaven. It's not eternal judgment. It's to show what works we did while on this earth in the name of Christ. Did we do it on our own strength, or did we do it by the strength of the Spirit? And those ones that have been done by the Spirit of Christ will be rewarded. Those we did on our own strength, under our own power, they'll be burned up. But we will be saved. And we will get to hear, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Now take your rest." But there's another judgment. There's another judgment where you will hear these books being opened. You will hear a clunk. And you will see as people stand in front, your name's not here. Your name's not here. Your name's not here. But Lord, Lord, did we not do these things? And ringing from the throne of heaven, you will hear, I don't know you. Which judgment do we want to be in? You see, this is what Daniel's saying. He said, you can escape judgment. All you have to do is repent. All you have to do is acknowledge. Fall on your face and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Well, let's see how Nebuchadnezzar reacts. With lessons learned through humility. How did he respond? Let's look at verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, Is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men. And your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox. And his body was wet with dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers. And his nails were like bird claws. Well, 12 months later, fast forward. King, repent, or this is going to fall upon you. Well, we see how he took the news. Thank you, Daniel. I'll take that in mind. You can go on about your business. It's good to be king. I don't fear God. He's not going to do that to me. Daniel, you know these gods, they talk a big game, but there's nothing to them. Look at what I've done. You see, we know all the little stories about the gods of Babylon. We've heard them. But the proof is in the pudding. Look at what Nebuchadnezzar has done. Look at this city. Look at Babylon. Look at these gardens. Look at this prosperity. Look how good I am. Before he utters those words, the watcher approached and said, No, you didn't do this. The Most High did this. The Most High, the eternal sovereign God, the God of creation, the one that took you from a little bit of dust and made you what you are. So, King, with one snap, the great Nebuchadnezzar, the gold head of the first vision, the conqueror of the known world at his time, the builder of the great Babylonian empire, was a slobbering, babbling fool. Crawled around on all fours. Hair grew long and shaggy. Sat around munching on grass, living amongst the animals. The great king. Now, I said it's for seven periods of time. Now, I'm not going to get into the mathematics of this because no one knows what that means. Okay? So, if anybody tells you that Nebuchadnezzar was out munching on grass for 7 months, 7 days, 7 years, The seven periods of time is a statement. This will last until it is fulfilled by God, until the point is reached, until you have your prodigal son moment and you come to your senses. We don't know how long he was out there. All I know is probably from what it sounded like, if his hair grew long like eagle's feather and his nails were like claws, it was a good amount of time that he was out there taking the salad bar, fighting off the rabbits. Yeah, great king. Where's old Nebuchadnezzar at? Oh, right over yonder. Grazing. And people say, well, what was Babylon doing about this time? We don't know. We don't have record of it, so you're only speculating. However, we do have a hint. You see, Daniel was appointed governor over Babylon early in chapter 2. He was appointed governor, so that made him second in charge. So more than likely, Daniel was overseeing things, knowing full well what was happening. He had already predicted it. He already said, King, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be confronted with your sin. You have a chance to repent now, or you will face the judgment of God. And you will have to endure that judgment until you come to your senses. You're going to learn this lesson. You're going to learn who is King of Kings, and it's not you. You see, what can we take away from that? Well, guess what? I am not sovereign. I am not king of my own life. However, that's kind of what the mantra is today. You do whatever you feels right. What's right in your own eyes? Even though Scripture tells us time and time and time again, this is what sin looks like. We have people in churches today that are trying to rewrite the Scripture. Oh, God wouldn't judge me because I am this. God's not going to... That's not a sin. We have not taken sin and we're making it acceptable. We're welcoming it. We are taking pride and arrogance and putting it front and center stage. No different than Nebuchadnezzar was. God, I'm in charge of my own destiny. I can do what I please. You see, that's a man-centered approach. One of the great false teachers of the day, he's written a book. I would highly suggest you do not get it. It's called The Power of I Am. Oh, surely that's a book about God. I am. Book about Moses. Who sent me? I am sent you. No, that's not what the book is about at all. The book is about using those two words, I am, and getting everything you can from the cosmic Santa Claus known as God. How to live your best life by just declaring I am. What? In other words, by declaring that you're on the same level as God? Isn't that what Nebuchadnezzar just tried to do? And now he's on a whole food diet right now? Slobbering around? Acting just like an animal? We see in verse 31, we see the sentence has passed. Kingdom is taken away. He's driven away. He lives like an animal, and it will last until he repents. And just like the prodigal son, he has his prodigal son moment. See, when the prodigal son was in knee deep in the pig pen, well, you have to really understand the Jewish people to understand how demeaning that was. See, they don't eat pork. They think pigs are one of the most unclean animals there are. And here he was taking care of them, wallowing in the same slop that they're wallowing in. When the prodigal son went that low, it says he comes to his senses. So let's see what Nebuchadnezzar does. Verse 34 to 37. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And He does according to His will among the host of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my Lord sought me, and I was established in my kingdom. And still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, for all His works are right and His ways are just. And those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. Here's the great King Nebuchadnezzar. Brought back. As he looked up to heaven, broken from the sin, broken from the judgment, he understands who is God. You notice now he doesn't use little s, little g, with frames this whole thing. He goes to praising God, goes to singing a praise to God. This is what God did for me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The greatest of the great looked up to heaven and realized that he is nothing. That he is nothing without God.